The following is our conversation with Farbod Manzorian, the founder and CEO of Unilingo. After 5,000 videos and 50 billion views in 14 different languages, he talks to us about what dubbing for YouTubers means to him and what he thinks is the future of the language industry, especially in dubbing. My name is Eddie Arrieta. I'm the CEO of Multilingual Magazine. Enjoy.
I first generation immigrant. I moved to one day I was in my home country, next day I was in Canada, and I learned to adapt very quickly. I did not speak a word of English prior to the age of 17. I moved there with my father. He then went back and I had to figure out essentially life. That built my character and gave my work ethics. I studied mechanical engineering to go and work in the automotive industry. I ended up making a startup in the hardware space. We sold the assets. It was these power banks that would be dispensed through a station placed at high foot traffic areas targeted at tourists. We sold the assets, and then later it became a larger or bigger company where you go to a Live Nation concert and you can charge your phone on the go. That was my first startup. Then I started two more companies which failed. And around 2017, I got accepted into effectively the Y Combinator of Canada, which is called Next Canada. And I was toying around with different ideas. And I was, at the time, translating TED Talks for family and friends back home. And it was a hobby of mine. And it was a hobby because I learned English, and all of a sudden I had access to world's greatest information simply because I knew this language. It's like in the 1700s, we had to learn Latin to be able to consume knowledge. In today's day and age, if you want to, you know, consume information, we most probably have to be able to speak English, and that will likely change very soon. So I was translating videos. Then I, as an experiment, I took one of these TED Talks and I dubbed it in Spanish. And the reason was because I learned that the Spanish fans on YouTube, which we were translating and posting it on YouTube. TED Talks has a YouTube channel. So we dubbed the video in Spanish, we uploaded it, and I go to San Bruno, where the YouTube headquarters are, and I pitched 300 YouTube engineers to join me on my new startup, which is translation for YouTube creators. And I got 300 no's. With a broken heart, going back to my Airbnb, I looked at my phone, and the TED Talk in Spanish had 1 million views. And I took that as a sign to lean in and start a company around localization for content creators, but not just localize, but also post and distribute it for them. So create a localized version of their main YouTube channel. I moved to Argentina to try to get as far away from the cold weather. Maybe that's I built a dubbing team, not knowing anything about dubbing. We started to work with this content creator. His name is Veritasium. He is the second largest science channel on YouTube. He grew his channel from 0 to 3 million or 2.5 million subscribers, hundreds of millions of views, hundreds of thousands of dollars in additional AdSense revenue. And fast forward to today, we have dubbed and distributed 7,000 YouTube videos. For some of the largest creators in the world, we've generated 11 billion views and $32 million in additional AdSense revenue. And we work with creators like Mr. Beast, PewDiePie, Dude Perfect, also Steve-O. And now we are more focused on implementation of AGI to bring the cost of dubbing down so that it is more accessible for everyone. Sort of started in 2013-12 with the founder of Watch Mojo, which does the top 10 videos category, and he created about 14 YouTube channels in different languages, and he was very successful. So Watch Mojo in Espanol had 8 million subscribers. So he started that movement in 2012, 2013. Then came a group of kids' channels, like Nastia, Ryan's World, where they started to dub. But it made sense because it was kids' content and they were getting an insane amount of engagement. But none of the mainstream creators were doing it. And it was primarily because there was not a platform where I could just go push a button and then things would just happen for me. Most of the time, they would have to go through a dubbing studio, and the dubbing studio would say, oh, if you have X amount of talent in the video, I will charge you this per minute, and then I will have to charge you extra amount of dollars if you want this something else. And creators just want to create content. So knowing this, I approached creators and I said, hey, just sign this contract and push this button and I will dub and distribute your videos. And I think that's what clicked. So in 2017, we came around and we started dubbing YouTube videos, and we really, especially around 2020 with Mr. Beast in Espanol, we shot, or dubbing for YouTube creators shot into the spotlight, because I took Mr. Beast in Espanol from 0 to 1 million subscribers in 28 days. It was the third fastest growing YouTube channel in that year. One of some of the things we did was we hired the best voice actors, best talent, but we also partnered with regional creators in Mexico and Colombia and Chile and Argentina to promote his translated content to their audience. And on top of that, we responded to comments. We responded to about 20,000 comments. We engaged with the fans. And then YouTube learned that they can implement the multi-language audio feature, much like Netflix. So we uploaded a few audio tracks to Mr. Beast. The first audio track we uploaded was to get this top full of snakes for $10,000. And we dubbed it in Spanish. We uploaded it as a multi-language audio feature, but it failed massively. And then I said, Jimmy, the multi-language audio feature isn't a fully mature product. Let's create a separate channel like I already have for other creators, and let's see where it goes. And that was a massive success. I think in 2018, I went to Vid Summit, which is one of the larger gatherings of YouTubers. And I had this one creator who said, YouTubers will never want to pay you $50 per minute to dub their videos. It's too expensive. And he would on top of that, he would say, YouTubers just don't understand the idea. Well, you know, last month I was looking through our database on our website, and we've received 49,000 submissions from YouTube creators to work with us. Now, granted, we are expensive for most of them, and so dubbing is very cost prohibitive. This is, in my opinion, I think less than arguably 1% of all shows are being localized because it's just so expensive. And let's talk about subtitles versus dub for a moment. Early on, I ran a poll on YouTube where I asked a simple question on one of our videos. Do you prefer subtitles or dub? We got 120,000 responses, and 61% of people said subtitles. But I did not, I say, don't listen to what people say, listen to what they do. So I looked at the analytics at YouTube, and I realized that when a video is dubbed, people are about 40 to 50% more likely to watch the video to the end than when it's subtitled. And so we were like, okay, then why are people saying they like subtitles? And so what we realized is these are just people that do not want to come off as, for example, maybe uneducated or having lack of knowledge of the original language, and they want to come off authentic. So it's really a virtual signaling answer where they go, I want subtitles, especially in the world of anime, because they want to come off as sophisticated. And so this insight that I unlocked allowed me to even push harder toward dubs and say, no, dubs is the path to move forward. Inherently speaking, we cannot watch a video and read text at the same time. It's a learned and acquired skill. If you're good at it, good for you, but most people aren't. It just puts a huge load on our cognitive abilities. Every single creator wants to be in, like not every single, but almost 95%+ of creators want to be in multiple languages because they know they are leaving money on the table. They don't know where to go. Companies that are in the translation space do not have the brand nor the insights that we do working with creators. So like I mentioned, creators just want to create more content. So the evolution we are seeing is there's a ton of companies right now that are working on AI dubbing, but they still force the creator to go and upload their own videos. First, choose your own video. So it's like, if I'm a creator, I already have maybe hundreds of pieces of videos, and there are 20 languages, and then there are 5 platforms. So like, what videos do I localize for what languages? And then I have to upload it on top of that too. So the title, the video description, all of that work. So really what we want to do is just make it easier and easier for creators to localize their videos and publish it, knowing that it is of good quality, if not great, at like, you know, more and more affordable per minute rates. And so the evolution is a bunch of AI dubbing companies came. YouTube, Google, Meta introduced a AI dubbing feature, which I know was vastly influenced by our work with Mr. Beast and other creators. And most of the demos that I'm seeing with AI dubbing today, it's like putting a car on a straight road with no obstacles, no pylons, no humans, no objects, and say, hey, it can drive itself. It's like, we watched this demo earlier today. This guy put like a video with no talking head in this system and said, oh yeah, it's AI dub. It's like, yeah, dude, like try to do an action movie where their background music and overlaps. It's not going to work, but it will work. It will happen. It just takes time. But what I'm not okay with is all these companies going to the market, rushing to the market and say, hey, you can paste the link and then out comes a dubbed video in 15 seconds. But then again, it's just like, maybe be more communicative with your customers. Say, hey, this video that you're dubbing, AI dubbing, maybe one out of every 10 words are mistranslated. Or maybe the voice is not going to resonate with 20% of your customers. So at least give your customers the power to empower them to make informed decisions. And what we see with the creators and the transition companies, there is information asymmetry, where the transition company almost always knows more about the creator because the creator doesn't speak that language. So the creator depends on the transition company to tell them what videos, what languages, what platforms it need to be posted on. And many times they're being taken advantage of. So we got the voice of Naruto for Mr. Beast Japanese. We got the voice of Spider-Man for Veritasium Spanish. And we also work with Mario Castaneda and Beto Castillo, who are the voice of Goku from Dragon Ball Z. So in fact, we did an interview with these two voice actors. And it's so funny. It's actually on our Unilingo YouTube page. You can go and check it out. We interviewed both. So there are two concepts. One is there are a very small group of people that think dubbing is not authentic. And it's like, okay, look, entertainment in itself is an illusion. Like, you think you go and watch a movie, you think that's authentic. Everything was made up by a storyteller. Anyways, the animation was made up by an animator to begin with. And so when it comes to dubbing, we're just doing the best we can to create the illusion that you're watching this video in your own language. So I get the expectations are high, especially with anime. And then there are a group of people that really want to hear the Japanese performance. But I'm like, hey, man, there is probably over a billion, if not a trillion hours of content on the internet. Okay, it's just a matter of, do you want to consume it or not? If you don't want to consume it, if you don't want to have access to it, then you don't. And in terms of localized experiences, In Spanish, so there are a few languages that do this. So Spanish, Arabic, and Hindi are some of those languages where there are different regions speaking it. And because dubbing is like the process is you first have to take the words of the characters, put it into speech or written text, then translate it, then feed those lines to a voice actor, and the voice actor reads those lines over a video. And then you also have to do sound design. It's a lot of work. It's not easy. And so for Spanish, for example, Dragon Ball Z, I'm sure the title holder of Dragon Ball Z would have loved to create Argentinian accent and Colombian and then Spanish, Mexico. But it's just the fact that it's just cost prohibitive, and to create five different versions of the same dub financially cannot be justified. So you fall within, again, so you fall within the people of that prefer authenticity. What I'm saying is most people, 9 out of 10 people fall outside this category where they just want to consume. They just want to be entertained. And Netflix ran a study where they took a French show that they dubbed for Americans. It was dubbed and subtitled. Every person, most people they spoke with, they said they want to, they love the French accent and they want to hear the subtitles. Then Netflix tracked their behavior and said, oh yeah, when we show them by default the dubbed version instead of the subtitle, people are much more likely to sit and watch the video longer. The expectations are any company that promises AI dubbing should be more communicative and transparent with the creators. What I do not appreciate is them like saying, hey, just come and paste the link. And it's like, hey, I'm an optimist when it comes to technology. I want my parents and my family to have access to all to world's best content in their language, which is Farsi, at a fraction of cost of what is today. So I have to be cheer for the advancement of AI. I just think that we need to say like, hey, 11 Labs. If you want to come out and or even YouTube and say, hey, we have an AI dubbing product, communicate this with your users, the level of quality. Because look, if I get a car and the car can drive itself, as a user, the moment that car drives into a tree, I immediately see the impact. But when I dub my video using AI into Spanish and I don't speak Spanish, I do not know the full ramifications of what I'm giving to my customers. So I just want more transparency, and I just want to see a very clear metric. Tell your customer how many words are actually accurately transcribed and translated. Also communicate with them what is the transfer of emotion in the voice from one language to another. What percentage are you capturing? Are you capturing 70% of the happiness, 10% of the happiness, or 90% of the happiness? And then allow people to make informed decisions. I think a lot of these voice acts, so I have spent like months and months in dubbing studios in Mexico and Argentina. We built our own dubbing studio in Mexico City. I mean, when I say I built it, I mean, I put up whisper rooms. We had 3 whisper rooms. We hired directors. We had voice actors coming in. We did the full thing. What I see is a lot of the times the voice actor has just driven for 3 hours to come to this random show that they were not briefed on. And they have to show up and put themselves in the shoes of the original narrator or the original actor. It's really a tough job. I think what we do is we just bring a bunch of onions. We cut it up right before the session and we have them smell it. get them crying. Or we get them to think about, you know, a parent, a loved one that passed away. No. I think... what we're doing now is we are trying to stand on the shoulder of giants. I think OpenAI is doing a phenomenal job with synthetic speech. It is able to laugh, sing. As for on the human side, we are annotating the transcription. So we do 2 things. I realize that a lot of the time, as I mentioned, voice actors show up to a recording and have no idea who their character is. So we give them a show guide. We say, hey, this is your character, these are the emotions, and this is what this character in this story goes through. They are a kid, then they grow up, and then they lose a parent, and then they have to rebuild their life and then they become a successful entrepreneur, for example. So now the voice actor is able to put themselves in their shoes. So we create these show guides. Also, we annotate the transcription, so we allow the voice actors to adapt quickly on the spot. But then again, we are working with OpenAI to use their voices. And then in post-production, we pitch the voice up and down. But I always said, I'll say it again, the idea of dubbing is never perfect. It's never going to be perfect. I also bet that I can go to an anime, to a Naruto show, and I can probably find a mistake where the animator did not draw a perfect line. But we were just not able to tell because we were so immersed in it. It's creative work. It's never going to be perfect. Video and content is vastly different than when you're Uber and you have your Uber app and everything is well-defined and you're translating it, versus creative content changes from character to character. So to think that it's going to be perfect is an idea that we should never, at least for now, accept. But I think, in a few years from now, we will be able to fully capture the essence in the original, in the source language, and then transfer it through AI to the source, to the target language. Yeah, I mean, right now we were gonna go down this path of let's build a voice recording platform and let in as many voice actors as possible. Then what we realized is, no, we really just need a few thousand voice actors, the best voice actors in the world. And also, for example, in Mexico, the dubbing industry is like the mafia. You have to go through many rounds to get in. We met this kid, 18-year-old, not a kid, like this younger guy who's a voice actor. And he came in and dubbed a YouTube channel for us. And the channel now has 4.3 million subscribers and 1.4 billion views. And now, because of that, he's able to get into the dubbing industry. But I think the dubbing industry is going to, as it looks, it's going to look vastly different in a short few years. Anybody who's in the dubbing industry, like, watch out. Things are moving fast. And a lot of the voice actors who are saying, hey, I don't want my voice to be trained on AI model. Well, guess what? OpenAI, Midjourney, 11 Labs, HeyGen, Runway, all of them have already trained their models on your voice, and there is not much you can do. It's basically like technology moves faster than lawsuits do. Like, by the time the legislation is placed, yeah, it's like your voice is being used for TikTok. Get over it. It's hard. It's sad. I get it. It's like, but the only constant in life, as we all know, is change. And things are just going to change. So we have to adapt. I really draw meaning out of serving humans at a large scale. So I just love that we are generating so much good in the world. Maybe not so much with Mr. Beast. I actually, looking back at it, I was like, if I could push a button and undub all Mr. Beast videos, I would likely do that. I'm not sure what kind of good he does bring to the world. It's like, you never watch a Mr. Beast video and after that think, yeah, I'm going to go out to the street and donate $10,000 to somebody. You probably won't. Like, nobody probably has. But I think where I'm today is I am in the office, like legit, just every day in the office, 7 days a week. And my head is at engineering, like hiring engineers, bringing more engineers in. And just think like, okay, how do we use AI to bring the cost down to a point where more and more creators can use this? And this idea of free dubbing is good, but I think it applies. There's a power law in the world of content where probably 5% of all content in the world generate 95% of all views and revenue, and that 5% changes. It doesn't stay the same. And it probably is going to grow bigger and bigger with AI tools, because now you used to build a team of 5 people to build a YouTube channel. Now you can just be one person. Use 11 Labs for the voice, use Midjourney for the content, use ChatGPT for the script, and then you have a YouTube channel. Which means the barrier to entry is going to be less and less, and more creators are going to be coming and generating more views. So we have 3 values in a company: that language is just a tool to communicate. Language is merely a tool to communicate. Nothing else. It's like no more, no less. Let's look at it that way. So if it's a tool, then this tool needs to constantly be played with and disrupted and taken apart and put back together. And number two, everybody contributes to the final product. So, for example, when a transcriber transcribes a video, if you do not catch an error early on, it's going to make its way all the way to the final product, right? And number three, we really obsess with giving people a good experience, a hyper localized experience where they can come and connect with the content in their own native language. So the culture is, I would say, we're demanding. But for example, today we had a team member where the family member unfortunately passed away. And we're saying, hey, you know, take as much time off as you need. It's fine. You know, I get it. I've been there. It's okay. Whenever you feel like, you know what, coming back, you know, it was a close family member, come back. But yeah, I think right now we all know that internally we have to disrupt ourselves, because if we don't, then we're going to get disrupted from outside. I thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Thanks for giving me this opportunity.
And this was our conversation with Farbod Mansourian, CEO and founder of Unilingo. We hope that you enjoyed this conversation and that you found it as inspiring as we did. My name is Eddie Arrieta, CEO at Multilingual. Thanks for listening, and until the next time, goodbye.